And the title of this one that I felt like it should get is The Truth Will Set You Free. And in Proverbs 13:7, it says this: There is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor, and yet has great riches. And when I studied this out, I thought it was funny. One of the commentaries said, I don't believe he was trying to teach us anything. I think he was just stating something he had seen. But how many people know that in the Word of God, he's always trying to teach us something? Amen? Amen. And so when I was praying about this, I really felt like the Lord said, the problem with both of these people is that neither one of them lived in the truth about their finances. You have one man who appears to be rich on the outside, and yet he's really poor. But he's living way beyond his means, trying to keep up the facade. And then you have another man who is actually wealthy, who is, again, putting on a facade and living like he's poor. How many stories have you heard? I've heard so many countless stories, especially from police officers, that they'll find a homeless person that's passed away, and inside their, on their body somewhere, clothing or in pockets, there will be thousands and thousands of dollars. And yet they're living on the streets, right? That doesn't make any sense, right? And then you have people that live in these big, beautiful homes who will lose everything overnight because the facade comes to an end and they can't keep it up. So they're both living in this place of a lie. And they're both dealing with it very differently. And the Lord wanted us to know today, truth sets you free. When you finally can sit down with your finances and realize, okay, I really can't keep living this way. Whether it's that you're hiding your wealth or whether it's that you're spending too much, whatever it is today, there is a freedom that comes when you deal with the truth of, okay, Lord, this is where I'm at. And a lot of times, well, not a lot of times, all the time, he already knows the truth about your finances. The truth is when we awaken to the reality of our finances, right? When we're finally willing to look in the mirror and say, okay, you gotta stop being so miserly, or okay, you've gotta stop spending, right? There's this Christmas movie that we stumbled upon a long time ago. It's like on one of those 10 for a dollar kind of, it was just really inexpensive DVD set, and it became one of our family's favorite Christmas stories. And it's about this family that the dad loses his job and they keep on keeping up this facade, the big, beautiful home. The kids are in private school. They have a vacation house, you know, all these different things. And they keep up this facade and they keep going until about 9 months to a year later and they lose everything. They literally become homeless, right? And their little girl, the littlest one, she's always about like loving the Lord and giving to other people. And she gave a can of food to a food bank drive that they were having. And it said, a miracle is coming. And guess who ended up with that can of food 12 months later? It was them. They ended up with this can of food. Well, the dad had done a good deed to a man in a coffee shop back when he was wealthy. And he had given a man his coffee because the young guy was like, you can't stay here, sir. He's kind of dressed kind of frumpy and he just looked kind of sad and kind of looked homeless actually in the movie. And he gave him a coffee. So the kid said, okay, if he has a coffee, he can stay. So the whole story goes along. I won't tell you the ending in case you ever want to watch it. And the whole thing goes along to where this act of kindness opened up the door for this family. He stumbles across them spending the night in a church. He invites them out to their home and they start helping him with his Christmas tree farm. Again, you have two people that are basically having a facade. The older gentleman actually was very wealthy, but he just dressed like a farmer from the old days. He just, you know, wasn't real fancy. And then you have this other family who was living way beyond their means and lost everything, and they all come to this moment of truth. And it's the most amazing, I ask my kids, I cry every year. We watch it every year, sometimes twice a year, and they all look over at me, and oh yeah, crocodile tears, you know, because it's so powerful what happens when they all come to this truth in their lives. It's an amazing story. And that's what I feel like is today. The Lord wants us to know there's a point of truth that he wants you to reach in your finances. You may be sitting there going, I'm totally fine with my finances, Shelley. I'm going all along. And I said that to the Lord too. But can I tell you this? There's always room for growth. And sometimes growth, I know when Luke is growing, his legs hurt like incredibly. Like you have to give him Advil because it's like, oh, mom, my legs. But sometimes you can't grow without there being a little ounce of ouch, right? And so this morning, that's what I feel like. This is not just Solomon giving us some pointers of something he saw. He's trying to tell us something. There is a man that is rich, that appears rich, and yet is poor. And then there's a man that's poor, appears poor, but that is really rich. The bottom line is we need to face the truth in our finances. And I just want to challenge every one of us, including myself today, that God wants to touch our finances. He wants us to bring us that place of exceedingly and abundantly above so that we have more than enough to give to every good work. Amen. Amen. We need more than enough to give to every good work, not just for the facility, not just for the staff that we're going to need as our church grows, not just for the keeping the maintenance up, no, but for every good work. That means there has to be the above and beyond. Amen? And so if we want to get to that point, we have to deal with the truth of our finances and how we're handling them. So I just challenge you, as you go into the rest of this month, pray. Every time before you start to sit down to do your bills, pray and ask the Lord, is there something that I need to change? And how many people know that change is a process? If Luke went from a three-year-old from like 2 foot two or whatever he was to all the way up to 5'10", just like that, would that physically be possible? No, his body couldn't handle it. So the same thing is true to you. Sometimes we make these quick vows and we feel like we gotta fix it right now. Right? But the Lord knows that change and growth is going to take time. So if there's something that he points out, don't just say, okay, tear up everything, and da, da, da. Because you know where you're going to end up? Right back in the same place. Because you need to grow through this. So ask him, what's the first step? What's the second step? What's the third step? And then follow him out to that place where you will be set free. Amen? Amen? You guys are quiet today. You're too comfy in this AC, right? Just kidding. So we want to live in a place of freedom, and that freedom comes with his truth. So grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much for the truth of your word. We just praise you and we thank you, Father, that we don't want to be stagnant. Like we talked about last week, the pool that doesn't keep flowing, we don't want that in our lives. And we sure don't want there to be issues in our finances that we could easily fix with your help that we're just continuing to ignore. Because that's a falsehood that we're dealing with. We're not being true to ourselves. We're not being true with you. And Father, I pray today that we would be truthful in our finances, that we would be truthful to ourselves, Father, especially. And that when you point something out, that we wouldn't just ignore it. But Father, help us to step forward, even if it's baby steps to begin with. As we take those steps forward, Father, we'll get more and more confident as we become more and more set free. Because God, that's what you want. You want us to be blessed, but you want us to enjoy those blessings that you have for us. And we can't enjoy things if we know we're hiding something. It just doesn't work. And so, Father, I pray today that you would set us free, all of us, set us free from the things the enemy has tried to hold us back and to keep us bound. And we just praise you and we thank you today for blessing every seed that's sown. Bless the giver. Multiply that seed. Let it bring 100-fold harvest, Father, from the north, south, east, and the west. And we just continue to give you praise and glory for all that you're doing in our lives today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. I so appreciate Shelley bringing those awesome words about finances and giving and receiving. Amen. The word of God works. Well, let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for it. in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, we're going to continue today on our message. Is my clicker handy? I think, there you go. Our message entitled To Him, of course that includes her, To Him or Her Who Overcomes. Amen. If you have your Bible, you can go ahead and flip over to Revelation chapter 2. And we'll get there in just a few minutes. All right, it might be a little more than a few minutes, but we'll get there. Amen. Did you ever notice that things God does in our lives sometimes require more than just a few minutes? Amen. If the Lord says, I'll be there in just a few minutes, well, the Word of God says a day to the Lord is as 1,000 years. Amen. So to Him, right, like this COVID thing, the Lord gave me a new phrase to call it a temporary normal. Amen. To the Lord, it's like, you know, not even the tip of the pinky nail of time, right? But in His mind, it's done. It's finished. Praise the Lord. But what we're focusing on right now, I believe by the leadership of the Holy Ghost, is where the church in general, our church, yes, but corporately, where the church plays into all these things. Amen? Because, you know, I enjoy watching sports, and a lot of sports are, you know, obviously dealing with these conditions and so forth as well. But you want your key players in at crucial times in the game, right? And like the NBA right now, they're calling it, they're all in the bubble, right? Where nobody can leave the bubble or come into the bubble without 72 tests and all these kind of things, you know. And if they do, they're busted. They get suspended or whatever, you know. But these games are, every one of them means a lot. And if you're a Trailblazer fan, they've been fun to watch right now, you know. And you want the right guys in at the right time. And getting up to this point in the season, now they're just entering into the playoffs, and some of the teams that were really good have been resting some of their good players. But from this point on, it's crunch time. And I believe the church in world history, this is crunch time. Amen. And who does God put on the field at crunch time? People that He wants on the field at crunch time. Somebody say, that must be me. That must be me, amen? So this is not the time to be hanging out on the sidelines, right? To be skipping practice, amen? To be wallowing around in unbelief. No, somebody say no. This is the time to show up, to be where we need to be, doing what we need to do with the people we need to be doing it with, amen? Because this is crunch time. Somebody say crunch time. Amen. And so we need to be close to the coach, close to the team, the rest of the team. In military terms, you know, we need to be at boot camp. We need to be in our places with bright, smiling faces, with the group that God has put us with, and just come expecting. You know, one of the Faith to Faith devotionals, I'd encourage you all to get Faith to Faith. You can either get it, order it from the, you know, kcm.org, or you can actually have it right on your phone with their app. But it's just a great way to plug in every day and get a positive, you know, word from the Lord, and it's a devotional. But one of the devotionals this past week had to do with when you're praying, but it looks like nothing's happening. And boy, I'll tell you, anybody can relate to this, right? Where you've prayed, you've stood on the word, you've had faith, and it looks like nothing's changing. And the point is, keep at it. Stay in the Word. Don't go by what you see and what you feel, right? And so that's where we're at today, amen? So no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, somebody say, keep pressing. Keep praying, keep believing. Stay in the Word. Believe what God says is greater than what the devil says, what the world says, what the circumstance says, how my body feels, amen? Because that's what changes things, God's Word, amen? But our foundation text for this is John 16:13, and it says this, "These things I have spoken to you," Jesus is speaking, "that in me you may have peace." Somebody say, in Him we have peace. So outside of Jesus Christ, there, guess what? There is no peace. It's a false peace. It's a fake peace. Somebody say, something's missing. Or better yet, someone's missing. If the Lakers go out this week, but they leave LeBron out, if the Blazers go out and they leave Lillard out of the lineup, somebody say, something's missing. Or better yet, someone is missing, and it's probably going to affect the outcome of the season, right? Somebody say, we can't go forward without Jesus, right? And yeah, we can look at the world and stare at the obvious deficiencies of things that are happening in the world and say, they need Jesus. Yes. But what about the church? Would it be possible for the church to try to be doing things, to try to be serving the Lord without him in the lineup? Somebody say, oh my. Hallelujah. This is what we need to look at. Amen. So he says this, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Not you may have. Did you notice where are we? We are still in the world. Praise the Lord. Now there's glorious things coming. We're going somewhere awesome. But right now we are in the world. We are on planet tribulation. Since the Garden of Eden, it's been this way, right? After the fall, right? When God said, if you eat that fruit, you will surely die. Guess what this world has been doing ever since that day? Somebody say, dying. The only way this is going to be fixed is God's going to come back and fix it, right? But he's put his people on the planet to have authority, to have dominion, right? To use our faith. He sent Jesus to break the power of the curse. Amen. And he uses his people to enforce these things on the planet, right? So in the world, you may have tribulation. You remember the word tribulation last week talked about means pressure, right? So if you're feeling any type of pressure, somebody say, welcome to planet pressure, right? Trouble. Now, I'm seeing something in my spirit right now that the Lord taught me when I was 20 years old, and that was a while ago. I was in college, and I was going through some things emotionally at college, my first time being away from home, and just I was feeling pressure. And the Lord showed me a picture while I was in college that he had a lump of coal in his hand, and it was my heart, and he was applying pressure to my heart, and when he took his hands off, it was a diamond. Now, see, there's some types of pressure that come from outside, that the curse and all these kind of things. But sometimes there's just things the Lord has to teach me to help me. Amen. So somebody say, just yield it up to Jesus. Just keep walking. Keep your eyes on him. But in this world, you will have pressure. Even our Lord went through this when he was led out into the wilderness, fasting. And he had this immense pressure all the way through the cross. He was dealing with pressure, 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 right? But don't you know, greater is he who's in you than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord. So the reason that the devil is putting pressure on you is because you must be putting pressure on him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Back to the sports analogy. When the Blazers or the Lakers go out there, they're going to be putting pressure on one another. Why? Because they're trying to beat each other. But the good news is, this is a fixed fight if you're a born-again believer. This is a fixed fight. The championship has already been won. All I have to do is hold my ground and advance. Keep advancing. Somebody say advance, right? So tribulation means trouble, anguish, which means to inflict distress, suffering, or pain, right? And I believe some of the biggest areas of pressure, distress, pain that I've dealt with in my life didn't come from the devil at all. It came from moi, decisions that I made, things that I did, thought patterns that I've held to. Had nothing to, now he might have started it. He might have created, but it was my decision to do some things, right? So what do we do when we make a bad decision? We repent. We come to Jesus. We look to his word. Shelley taught a great message last week on the radio called Mirror, Mirror of the Word. We find the promise in the word and we choose to apply it to our lives. Amen? So, and it says, it goes on, but he says in verse 33 again, John 16, but be of good cheer. Now, how many know when you're under pressure, it's difficult to be of good cheer? But somebody go like this. Hallelujah. If I'm feeling some pressure, I must be headed the right direction, right? Amen. The Apostle Paul taught us this on the ship, and it was in the middle of a hurricane, and they were thinking of killing all the prisoners. And an angel came and stood before Paul and said, remember, you're on your way to Rome, and you're going to get there. No one's going to die on this ship. Go tell them. So Paul comes up out of the hull of that ship, and he says, and they're all bailing water and trying to save the ship. And he says, be of good cheer. Now, somebody say, that's faith, right? That's what faith says in the middle of a pandemic. Somebody say, be of good cheer. We're winning. We've got the victory in this thing and every other place in our life, right? And it means when he says, be of good cheer, why? Because I have overcome the world. So in other words, this pressure is coming from the world, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Somebody say, Jesus is on my team, or better yet, I'm on his team. Remember Abraham Lincoln, somebody asked him after the Civil War, during the Civil War, is God on our side? And he said, that's not the question. The question is, are we on his side? Somebody say, I'm on his side. I'm with him. Seen bumper stickers from several years ago that say, I'm with her, referring to the Hillary Clinton campaign. Somebody say, I'm with him. I'm with Jesus. Amen. You have a choice. And when he says, I have overcome, it means I have conquered, I have prevailed, I have gotten the victory. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. But another foundation text, 1 John 4, 1 through 5, it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Did you know the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world? Amen. We may not know who the guy is, but the spirit of Antichrist is very much active in the world. I shared last week that even the state of Washington has declared that church, yeah, you can go ahead and go to church, but church is a super spreader of viruses. And the department stores aren't, and the casino isn't. You know, it's funny, not funny, but you know what I'm saying, right? A lot of these sports, teams that are having little breakouts of COVID and things here and there, none of them, it says, half the team went to church and they came back with COVID. No, it's half the team was at the club, half the team was at a frat party. I got news. The church, this church anyway, is a super spreader of faith. Of the word, right? Of victory. Amen. Believe me, you want the church open and operational. Praise the Lord, right? So Jesus has gotten this victory for us, but the spirit of the Antichrist is already acting. Now, it doesn't mean we go hide. Hide. No. Why? Because Jesus is on the team. Amen. Greater is he who's in you. Then guess what? The Antichrist can't have his way until we out of here. Amen. And we're not getting out of here running from him. We're getting out of here when the trumpet sounds. When the coach calls us home. Glory to God. That's going to be such a glorious day. Amen. What you have heard was coming and now is already in the world. You are of God, little children, verse 4. and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Now, see, that's the cool thing. We talk about pressure from the world. They're of the world. You and I are not of the world. Amen. Therefore, they speak as of the world. The world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Amen. So we have to be watchful as believers that we're smart sheep, that we know the voice of our shepherd and we don't follow other shepherds. There'll be a lot of voices out there that say, yeah, Jesus is cool, but so is Muhammad, so is Krishna, so is Joe Smith. And whatever you want to add to the list, somebody say no, no. Somebody say only Jesus. Well, you straight-minded, narrow thinking, well, that's what it says. Straight is the road, narrow is the gate that leads to salvation. Somebody say one way, not many ways. Many ways lead to hell. One way leads to heaven. Amen. It sounds so simple, but yet to many, this is not acceptable. And I can't believe to say this, but even in churches, I drive by churches in Portland, and they have the rainbow, you know, homosexual logo on their sign. Now, yeah, we love everybody, but we don't embrace everybody's philosophies. Why? Because we're trying to help you miss hell. We just want you to get born again, okay? That's like the rest of us. We want you to be saved like the rest of us. That's all. We've all got things that God is helping us to get, you know, saved out of. Somebody say one way. Not your way, not my way, his way. Amen. Glory to God. Well, some key definitions from Revelation chapter 1. Well, let's just go right to Revelation 2, because that it'll cover a lot of this. Hallelujah. Somebody say, Jesus is coming. Get ready. Stay ready. Be ready. Well, Revelation chapter 2 is what I'm talking about. Verses 1 through 7. I'm just going to read them here. To the angel of the church of Ephesus. Now remember last week we talked about the word angel translates pastor in this sense. All right? And we're talking about church. We're talking about a calling out, a popular meeting. The church ought to be the most popular meeting in town. Right? At least among Christians. How many Christians today? I'm just wondering. Aren't in church because they don't feel like they need to be. Somebody go, yikes. They'd rather be fill in the blank. Well, you can do that on Saturday. You can do that on Friday afternoon. But Sunday, and I'm not talking about not taking vacations and all that stuff. I'm talking about week to week, right? Church ought to be a popular meeting, at least among believers. And the world ought to be curious about what's going on in there. Amen? It's a community of members on earth or saints in heaven or both. But you know, the greatest gathering of believers one day is going to be in heaven. And we're all going to be together forever and ever. It means assembly, to bring together or gather into one place. Somebody say place. A place to have church is important. Not sitting on the couch in front of my laptop. Now, that's cool for temporary normal, but not week in and week out. That's cool for, you know, like a supplement, getting something online. But as far as we need to be in a body of believers ourselves, go somewhere. Somebody say, get out. Go to the meeting. Meet with other believers, right? Amen. It means to bring together, gather to one place. It means company, body, whole, to put or fit together. Now let me ask you this. Who's putting the body together? Somebody say, Jesus is. Jesus is. He decides, he calls people to join different groups in the body of Christ, different churches. And we need to trust him with that, amen? I think a lot of Christians, a lot of believers who are in church, we ought to be examining, you know, is this the church that I'm called to be a part of, right? Don't just go to a church because, well, this is where grandpa went to church. This is where my family's been in church for 27 years. This is where, you know, the denomination that I grew up in. Somebody say, seek the Lord about your church. I love Keith Moore. He talks about people that will move to a different city for a job for $5 more an hour and leave the church that they're called to be in for the job. And the point is, no. You build your life around where you're called to be in church. Not build your church around, squeeze church into your own schedule somewhere. Now, this is a little bit of a change of thinking for Americans, for Western, you know, people. But church ought to be really high up on our, you know, yeah, I know I can make 10 more thousand a year at this if I move to this city or that city. But man, I'd have to leave my church. I'd have to get my family out of this church. And I know God has called us to be in this church. Somebody say amen, right? So church is really high up on our priority, on Jesus' priority list. Right? So it should be on ours too, right? It means to put or fit together, to put together the parts of, to come together to meet. To meet. This is why the devil has tried and tried and tried and failed and failed and failed to stop church. Stop church. Church is dangerous. Of course it is to him, right? Amen. Let's read on. Don't you love when the Holy Ghost just stops us in one verse and just goes on? I just love it. Verse 2. These things says he who holds the seven stars, remember that, is pastors, right? In his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, that again is church, right? Good reason to go to church is because Jesus is there. That should be enough of a reason alone for me to get up, comb my hair, right? Get ready, come to church. Why? Because Jesus is at church. I got issues that I need help with. But if I just skip Sunday, I can get a little farther on this issue. Oh, no. Somebody say you need one thing. Jesus involved in helping you with your issues. Somebody say praise the Lord, right? He who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works. Now he's talking to the church of Ephesus here, okay? So Jesus is intimately involved and acquainted with every church, right? I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear with those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Good job, Ephesus. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my namesake and have not become weary. Somebody say, way to go, Church of Ephesus, right? But don't you know, if you're on a good team, if you got a father who loves you, guess what he's about to do? Somebody say, he's about to correct me on something too. So he's giving him he's giving him the sugar first. Oh, way to go, son. Way to go, daughter. Right? Amen. And then verse 4, he comes to verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you. And they're like, what? Right? That you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. I'm going to close your church. I'm going to stop coming. I'm not going to endorse you. Would it be possible that a church could just go right on being a church without Jesus' endorsement? Somebody go, oh, ow. Why even go? Right? Unless you repent Amen. Somebody say, he loves me enough to correct me. Right? Am I going on? Yeah, to verse 7. But this you have, that you hate the deeds. Now he's back to it now. This I like, though, right? You hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Listen, he's saying, listen, 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 right? Here we go. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen. That's a fellowship term, right? Jesus, somebody say, Jesus is the tree of life. That's not telling me that when I get to heaven, I'm going to have to eat from a certain tree in order to live for it. No, somebody say, Jesus is the tree of life. He's talking, this is fellowship talk here, okay? But we need to back up a little bit here and look at verse 4. And this is the Amplified Classic translation. But this I have one charge to make against you, that you have left, abandoned the love that you had at first. You have deserted me, your first love. So here's a church that is really into correcting and judging others. Real good at it. False prophet, you're wrong. I hate this, I hate that. That's evil, that's evil. No love. Somebody just say, that ain't the church Jesus is looking for, right? Now, we also don't want to be the church that just love, we love this, we love that, we love everything. That's not what he's saying. He's saying we love him. Somebody say, I'm here because I love Jesus. That's the first reason why I get up and come to church, why I serve, why I have my devotions. I don't have my time in the Word so I can find out what's wrong with you. No, I come to Jesus because I love him. Amen. Glory to God. So he's saying to this church, yeah, I agree with you. This is wrong, and that's wrong. This is wrong, and that's wrong. But there's something wrong with you, too. You've forgotten about being in love with me. Now, that should cut deep. I'm not saying to us here, but it should get us to, but while he was talking to Ephesus. Anytime something's in the Word of God, we need to listen to it as if he's talking to me. Amen? It's kind of like when the coach singles out somebody on the bench and he's going after him for being lazy and not picking up, fumbling the football, and you're watching, yeah, yeah. No, he's talking to everybody. That's what I love about, I hear stories about Michael Jordan, one of the greatest basketball players to ever play. His coach, Phil Jackson, treated him like everybody else. Nowadays, coaches are afraid to call out the star athlete. Not Phil Jackson. He would rail Michael Jordan in front of the whole team, which told the rest of the team what? If I'm not afraid to come after Michael, be on your P's and Q's as well, right? Amen. So when we hear Jesus coming after Ephesus, we ought to be thinking, okay, let's check my love. Lord, I love you, Jesus. Just lift your hands and say, I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you. I love you, Jesus. Say it often. Say it every day. Just say, Lord, I love you. Correct me. Teach me. Guide me. Lead me. I'm here because I love you. And 1 Corinthians, well, actually, that word against in your notes there, if you have your notes. When he says, I have this against you, right? That means in opposition to. Can you imagine being a church and Jesus coming and saying, you and me are not in agreement on this? Yikes. That's why teachers and pastors and leaders, the Bible says, will have a stricter judgment. What are you teaching? How are you leading my people? Not your people, Pastor. I said you're a star, you're giving light. but I am the star, Jesus would say, right? And the lampstand is not your lampstand, it's my lampstand, right? How are you teaching and leading my people, right? Amen? We don't want to be in opposition to Jesus. Amen? How many churches out there, how many believers out there walk in opposition to Jesus? Well, we don't need to think about that. How about if I just look at me? Lord, show me any area of my life where you and me are in disharmony and help me with that. Not in order for me to be saved, but because I'm saved, because I'm your son, because I'm your daughter, because, here's the three words, I love you. Amen, right? It means against, when he says, I have this against you, in opposition to, contrary to, adverse, or hostile to, in opposite direction to. Yikes. Amen. Somebody go, Lord Jesus, I do not ever want to take one step the opposite direction that you are going. We're following the shepherd through this life. Yeah, but I'm going to go this way. Somebody said, that ain't how it works. He said he will remove the lampstand. So here's a cool thing to remember. Just because there are thousands of people, there's excitement, there's enthusiasm, there's emotion, doesn't mean it's a revival. Doesn't mean we judge other things. But somebody say there's only one Jesus. Only one Jesus. The heart of that person might be they're proving they can do this or that, or you know what I'm saying, right? Somebody say, just don't be that. Stay in love with Jesus. And that's not saying that any big, we love the Copelands and ministries that are doing awesome things around the world, but somebody say, it's really about me and him. Me and him. Are we in harmony? Somebody say, I'm in harmony with Jesus, right? And he says this in 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love for others, this is amplified, for others growing out of God's love for me, then I have become only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, just an annoying distraction. Somebody say, Lord, I love you. I don't want to be a noisy distraction to you, Jesus. Amen? I don't want to be an irritating sound in your ears, Lord. Praise the Lord. And our ability, the thing to note here is my ability to love you, to love my wife, my kids, you, others, to not, here's a big one, to not get in strife with other people in the body or political leaders, whatever. The only way to do that is to focus on I love Jesus. And I'm not going to be offended at anything else out there. And then I'm able to love you more effectively because I love him first. First. Somebody say first. He's my first love. Amen. And this morning, we're closing right now, but this morning the Lord reminded me of Romans 8, 38 and 39. I'm just going to turn to that really quickly here because I didn't put that in your notes because it just came to me this morning. Somebody say, I love you, Lord. I love you first. I love you first. And it says this, verse 38 and 39, Romans chapter 8. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I looked up that word separate this morning in the concordance, and it means empty expanse, territory, country, ground, land, region, to be in or give space, to come, to contain, to have, to have place, to receive. Somebody say, Lord, I receive your love today. Nothing will be, and you know, I've always saw that in terms of nothing will be able to separate me from the love of God, his love. But here's the thing the Holy Spirit was teaching me on this. I have to have a determination in my own gut, in my own spirit, that nothing is going to separate me from loving him. See, we want everything naturally, just him to do it all. Yes, of course nothing will separate me from his love, but I have to have it in my own spirit. Lord, no matter how it looks, no matter how it feels, no matter what it looks like, no matter what symptoms I'm seeing or not, nothing, somebody say nothing, will separate me from you. Nothing. I will not allow it. I will not allow anything to separate me from loving you first. Somebody say glory to God. And I love the words in there that separate. Territory, country. Somebody say we're taking our territory for Jesus. If we allow nothing to separate us from the love of God, man, he is coming to town. He is coming to town. Hallelujah. Country, territory, land, regions. We have authority in this region of our nation, in your county, in your home, in your businesses, in your schools. We have authority because we love him first. And nothing is going to separate me from his love. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up on our feet and we'll pray together. Hallelujah! Just lift your hands and thank him. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for your great love for us, God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I hear the Lord saying this. He's saying, there is a separation. I am separating you from this world to myself. I'm separating you from the curse, from sickness and disease, from poverty, from sins. I'm separating you to myself, the Lord would say. Hallelujah. Just thank him for that today. Just thank him for that today. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name. Somebody say, I love you, Lord. I love you first. Nothing will separate me from loving you, Lord, in every area of my life. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord.